say, oh, the bunnies. It's supper. Supper. It's not Easter. We've got the bunnies. They've got big ears, and I'll leave you to draw a line between the dots. Oh dear. Just as we begin, please join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the privilege of being able to gather here this morning. I thank you for every person who's here. Some people have had to work really hard to get here today, and I thank you for that perseverance. Lord, help us to hear what you have to for us to learn today, for us to feel, for us to be challenged, to be transformed by your word. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So good morning again, and welcome to the Church of the Resurrection. If you've been with us at all over the last 3 months, you'll know that we had a wonderful sermon series called What Kind of King, What Kind of Kingdom? And we dug into the Old Testament together, and primarily three books from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, and then Micah, and then Jonah. And Rachel Krohn finished up the series for us last week and brought it all together so well. And I'm going to try and remind us what Rachel said as she closed last week. She reminded us that our King is Jesus, who followed God's call to him even when the call was agonizing. He did that for us, unlike Jonah, as we learned. And our King is Jesus, who lived out God's love and brought healing to all he met, unlike Jonah, whose hard heart kept him in a pit of personal misery. What kind of king? That is our King. What kind of kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God is open graciously to all, not by inheritance, not by virtue of your tribe, not by virtue of your last name, but simply because of a gracious love. We belong to God. We are his children. We are a holy people. And Rachel reminded us, let us not forget that great truth. So just as we have had a chance to root ourselves in the Old Testament over the summer, today we're going to look forward. Today I'm not going to preach for very long. It's a long weekend, number one. It's still really hot, and I'm just going to set you up for the month ahead. We're going to use the month of September to prepare for our weekend away, which is happening on the 29th of September, and then the 30th in our worship together. On the 29th, we're gathering as a community to listen to Jesus together, an intentional time, a time set aside to listen. Why are we doing this? Well, lots of reasons, but one big one is that our lives can be so full. Our lives can be so frantic. Sometimes our lives are just filled with good things, but there's just lots of good stuff. And it feels like we're running tired and we don't have much left to give. Does anybody else feel like that from time to time? Well, our hope and prayer with the weekend away and this sermon series during September is that we step out of that frantic pace, we slow down, and we make ourselves available to listen to Jesus together. So that's why we're calling this series Listening to Jesus Together. And that's why we've got the bunnies with big ears, because they are listening together. We're dedicating this time for the community to re-engage with God's call to us. I want to remind us all that we are handmade treasures, made by God to be in relationship with him and with each other. And it is always worth remembering that God knows us intimately. God knows us better than anyone else can because he made us. Because he made us, he knows us. And God has made ways for us to know him. And this knowing and being known is alive, and it is active, and it is now. And please let us not make the mistake that it's remote, that it's historic, that it's on ice. God makes himself known to us. God makes himself known through Scripture. That's why we gather week after week. We read it out loud. We preach on it. We learn. Because we want to hear God's voice and God's will for his people and his creation. God makes himself known when we talk to him in prayer. God makes himself known in our experiences in our day-to-day lives. These are all things that are supported by the Holy Spirit. God gave the Holy Spirit to his people so that they might know him. We can also know God through tradition, and I'm playing with that word a little bit because Jesus is rightly so critical of tradition. We heard about that in our reading from Mark. I guess what I'm speaking about here in terms of tradition is that which has been passed down to us. The faith that has been taught to us by our spiritual parents, grandparents. We do things when we gather for worship that we didn't create today. It's not fresh and hip and cool. It's something that we have, that has been given to us, has been handed down to us over the centuries, over the millennia. It's not all great, but it is something that we, a good way for us to get to know God. Handed down to us by followers of Jesus who came before us. Now the psalmist says in Psalm 73, guide me, Lord, with your counsel. I just love that. Guide me, Lord, with your counsel. It's a lofty sentence in a way. It's a bit grandiose. But the root of the question is a call for leading, for direction by God. So when I was thinking about this, of course, oh, there goes my pen. Of course, when you're preparing for a sermon, the first thing you do, I'm joking, but is you look on Google. So I checked on Google, how do you make decisions, right? So we're looking for guidance. How do you make decisions? Well, Google's very helpful. So if you ever need help, there's 7 steps to making good decisions. So Google tells me and us to create a constructive environment. Nice. Investigate the situation in detail. Generate good alternatives. That's assuming there are good alternatives. Explore your options. Select the best solution. Evaluate your plan. And execute. It's that easy. It sounds pretty good, right? I wonder about you. How do you make decisions in your life? And I'm just talking about you at this point. How do you make decisions in your life? Anyone here a ponderer? Who likes to take law? Like, you need your time. Don't rush me. You're a bit like the toddler, right? You have 5 minutes before you have to put down the Lego. We have that with decision making, right? So ponderers? How about who of you likes to just, like, get it done? Like, dilly-dally, dither, you don't like that, you want to get it done. Some of you? Okay, is there anybody who does both? A little bit of both? Nice. Okay, so what's easy about decision-making? What's easy for you? What's easy about decision-making? Decisions is where we make we decide to do something different than we're already doing, right?
The outcome is good.
Sorry?
We know that the outcome is good.
So it's hard to know if the outcome is good. Yep, that's difficult. Absolutely. Marcus? So my ears are bad. So I've got this fan in front of me. It's totally about myself. So Marcus is saying, if the decision just involves me, should I have a latte or a drip? That's easy, right? I can see Marcus standing in front of the cash. Yes. If it's just about me, it's easy, but if it involves other people, it's hard. Okay, what else is easy about decision making? Yes, Jenny.
Well, once decision making is made, done.
Is it? Okay, so for Jenny, the easy bit is the decision's made and you just stick with it. That's in your case, absolutely. What's hard about decision making for yourself? This is just on a personal level. Good, nothing's hard about decision making. I'm glad that's why we... So if you're making a decision that isn't obvious, right? Yeah. It can be hard when there aren't obvious options. Yes? Okay, so once you've made it, it can be hard to actually execute the decision. Absolutely. Marcus? Okay, so Okay, so a decision needs to be made, but nobody wants to actually engage with the face reality that a decision needs to be made. Interesting. Can we switch a bit? What is it like when you have to make a decision in a group? So, like, let's say in a household unit. What's that like? What's that like? It's fine. Fun. Fight. Sorry, see my... Maybe I need to get assistance in my ears. You can have a fight. Conflict.
I think you have to be flexible.
You can be flexible. Absolutely. Rachel?
So
oh, no need for TMI. Yeah. Okay, so you make decision, but maybe you overcommit? Or... Okay. You're a compliment. So, yes. But that's a good thing about just making decisions together, that you might have input from other people that would help come to a good outcome. Yes. You're the kid at the candy store. Let's put for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus here. How do you make decisions as a person of faith, as a follower of Jesus? What changes, right? Prayer. So you need to pray. You need to be praying. So there's an engagement, you're sort of including God. Yeah.
Try to see other viewpoints.
So there's perhaps a humility involved, perhaps, Mary? Yeah. See you, Nancy? Or no, was it you, Regina? Yes, so you're asking for God's help to open doors and close doors. Yeah, and so what does that mean to you, Regina, that you can ask that? Yes. So you're building on a trusting relationship that you have with God. Yeah, excellent. Yes, Sarah?
Being willing to surrender. Because
that's a big word.
Sometimes when I pray, in your mind you want to go a certain way or you have a certain, but being willing to say, even though this is what I desire, Lord, if this is not your will for my life, I will give this up.
Yes.
For what you desire for me.
So Sarah's saying there's a challenge to... listen to God first before taking action, right? Putting God's God first and sitting under God's will, right? Is that right? And surrendering was the word used. Surrendering your interests to God's will. Yeah. There are lots of hands, but I'm going to stop you just because, we can continue at coffee hour, and I'm really glad that it's provoking something. I know that I'm not the only one who made a decision thinking it was God's will for me because I really wanted to do it. I may not be the only one. And then, lying in the dirt afterwards wondering what happened, realizing that it was all about me. We can face obstacles as we listen to God, as we listen to Jesus. We might have the question, is this really God's voice that's speaking to me? Is this really God's voice that's speaking to us? Is this the right decision for us? Oh, maybe I don't know. Do we know all the facts? Have we spent enough time gathering what we know? Maybe we're not ready yet. We might stand on the sidelines like that. And some of us may feel that we don't have enough time when it comes to making a decision. I love the reading from James this morning. I love James anyway. I think I have a James crush. Are you allowed to have crushes on books of the Bible? Sorry. What page were we at there? James is at the end. Sorry. Okay, 1118. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. I love that James is reminding us that God is good and that his intentions for us are good. So that's where we start from. When we're listening to God, knowing that he has good things for us. God is constant and his character is unchanging. That makes God reliable. And for some of us, we need to know that when we're making a decision. We need to have that trust. I love James counsels us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And I think this is something we should take forward into this month. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Slow to speak and quick to listen. Some of us will remember the story of Samuel's life right at the beginning, 1 Samuel 3. Young Samuel has come to live with Eli, the priest, and he's sleeping at night, and God keeps calling him, and Samuel says to Eli time after time, you called me? What's going on? And Eli's like, go back to bed. And finally, Samuel, with Eli's help, realizes that it's God who's calling Samuel the child. And how does Samuel respond? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I know that it can be very, very tempting for us to take a different approach. Listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking. That is not right. Listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking. No, let's take the Samuel's attitude. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. It can be very hard for us to slow down and dedicate ourselves to listening. And some of us, I think just in our personalities, we're talkers. So I know in my own prayer life, I talk a lot when I'm talking to God. And that's partly the way I work things out relationally. And it can be very hard for me in my own one-on-one devotional time with God to sit and be quiet, and that might be the same for you. Now, in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus says to those who are gathered around, hear me, all of you, and understand. And Jesus makes a straight line between hearing him and understanding. I love that. Hear me, all of you, and understand. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is like medicine that goes deep, deep down inside of ourselves, of who we are, and it heals our hidden wounds and hurts. And it transforms our motivation and transforms who we are. In preparation for this series, I've been slowly reading my way through a book called Listening Hearts, Discerning Call and Community by Suzanne Farnham. She helpfully unpacks a bunch of theological terms that get bandied about when we talk about listening to God. Terms like vocation or call, discernment, obedience. Obedience is a word that's probably quite familiar to us. The English word comes from the Latin audire, which means to listen. What do you make of that mashup, eh? Obedience comes from the word to listen. So obedience is linked to listening. So let's just remind ourselves of that. When we hear a call from God and we do it, as in we're obedient to it, we're joining in his divine plan. In fact, Jesus himself came precisely to include us in his divine obedience. Just look at John 14:15 or 14:21. As I close, in the coming weeks, as we head towards this retreat on the 29th, we're going to continue to reflect on what it means to listen to Jesus together and what conditions help to open us up to discernment, to listening, to evaluating, to being prayerful. So I'm going to ask us to think in the weeks ahead about things like trust, about prayer, knowledge of Scripture, humility, discipline, perseverance, urgency, patience, and also recognizing when there are impediments in the way, when there are things that are blocking our ability to listen. Let us treasure this time ahead together. Let us listen to Jesus together. Amen.